Before we get into our question this week, I have to share with you one of the little insights that really make worship for some of us pretty exciting. So the song that Linda sang earlier, I Am Not Alone, they didn't know what the sermon or readings were going to be about this week until Wednesday when they came after band practice. So their song was already picked, right? And our message today is, or a question that's asked is, why do bad things happen to good people? So none of this is coordinated beforehand, but the Holy Spirit still comes to play, and sometimes it gives little goosebumps. And that's just one instance where this happens. I just had to let you know that there are some things going on behind the scenes that aren't planned by us. Our question this week is, why do bad things happen to good people, right? It's a question that we are asked nearly every week in confirmation class and after many tragic events. It's a question that each of us, if we are honest with ourselves, admit to wondering about. Even if we can substantiate it with an answer, a why God plea has likely crossed many of our minds. It's also a question, though, that is quite loaded. First of all, this question implies two major points. One, that people are good. And two, that God controls what happens in this world. Now, while we like to think of ourselves in a selfish human way, that we are all good and entitled people, we aren't, right? In God's world, we are not good. We fail to follow the commandments. We fail to allow God to be God. We fail to constantly think about loving our neighbors and sharing God's love with others. And the one piece that holds us all together is God's redemption, God's forgiveness for all of our sinfulness. You may have heard other religious leaders give reason to why particular natural disasters have happened. Hurricane Katrina, of course, was because of all of those sinful people in New Orleans. Now, if you've ever been to New Orleans, it's a fun place to be, but they're apparently very sinful down there. And the tsunami that was in Japan a few years back, well, that, of course, was because the people there simply didn't follow God's word. Now, if we want to go along with this kind of theology and blame the unfortunate stuff that happens in the world simply on behavior, then we all might as well just go home and sit in the dark and wait for our day. Because our behaviors are not any better than the next person's. We are not any better people than the people in New Orleans or the people in Japan. Fortunately, though, that's not what our Lutheran theology gives to us. If we think back to creation, the story we had today, God created humankind to care for the earth. God created both man and woman to be partners in this mission in caring for God's creation. They worked together. And the very first sin was committed. Adam and Eve wanted to be more like God. So when they were tempted to eat of the forbidden fruit, they did. And we all are tempted to eat of that forbidden fruit, to be more than God. So we, in general, are not good people. We also have many people within our congregation who are hurting, who are experiencing unfortunate events, those bad things that we classify. And they come in many forms: natural disasters, illnesses, tragic accidents, as well as the ill intentions and selfish acts of other people. We are all faced with bad things at some point in life, at some level. Sometimes those bad things hit us like a slap in the face. Sometimes those bad things just make our hearts sink. And individually, we have very little control over those things. We can't control cancers. We can't control natural disasters. And one-on-one, we can't necessarily control the destructive path of another person. But the frustration comes when we talk about God being so all-powerful. why can't God use God's almighty powers to fix those things or to prevent those things from ever even happening? Well, that answer is quite simple, actually. From the beginning, God granted us free will. God gave Adam and Eve the choice to either follow God's word or not. We are not forced to believe in God. We have a choice. We can choose whether to serve ourselves or to serve God by loving others. If we were forced to believe in God, we might be spared some of the heartache that we experience, right? But we would never really have the opportunity to come to know and experience God's love then. If we were forced to believe in God, God would never have needed to send Jesus to redeem us, to show God's love for us, to show how deeply and undeniable God's love is. Our perceptions of bad things are different for every person. One of the bad things that I have experienced in my life that I've struggled with was the death of my biological mother, right? I was 7. She was killed in a car accident by a drunk driver. The immediate response is, why, God? Why would you let this happen, right? But the reality that we live in is that this was not God's choice. This was not God's doing. This was a person's choice to be irresponsible. And in order for God to have prevented such an incident from happening, we would all have to be loveless robots. Most of us have experienced serious and life-threatening illnesses, either of ourselves or people close to us. God doesn't make people sick because they haven't prayed enough or to get even for something wrong that they did. Those illnesses are genetic, science-driven, environmentally related situations. If God were to step in and prevent such things from happening, we would need to be those loveless robots, unable to be transformed and unable to know God's love. It's most often in those dire moments when we do find God, when we realize what God has given to us. It's in those moments when God weeps with us. It's sort of like a parent-child model. When a parent watches their child suffer and hurt, the parent can't undo what has happened. We can't always fix the situation, but we can sit and grieve with them, cry with them, comfort them until the hurt eases up. God does the same for us. God weeps with us and comforts us. The beautiful part, though, is that God helps us as part of that transformation by sending the Holy Spirit to be at work in and among us, helping us to find those resources that we need to get through the troubled time, providing the resources or the people to step in and give us that strength and that encouragement and the help that we might need, walking with us, encouraging us, and giving the strength to endure the pain that isn't caused by God, but caused by the world around us. One of the lovelier things about being a pastor is that you let Tom and I walk with you in those times of grief, in those times of struggle, and in those times of joy. And we get to witness firsthand how God is at work through some of that turmoil. God doesn't cause those bad things. But God certainly uses the pains of this world for God's greater mission. As our gospel reading read this morning, all this must happen, and those who endure the birth pangs of this world will be saved. Because the hope is not that we have had a good life in this world, but that we live our lives to the best we can in sharing that gospel message, in sharing God's love shining God's light into the darkness around us. We also heard from our reading in Corinthians. These were all pre-planned, by the way, too. They just fit really well. Do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Even though the world might seem like it's falling apart around us, the Holy Spirit is working in us to renew us. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what cannot be seen is eternal. The tragedies of this world are not caused by God. God does not spite anyone, the good or the bad. Bad things happen because they happen. Bad things happen because God has given us the choice to follow or not, to love others or not. God has given us the choice to interpret God's word for us in our world. And because we're not forced into that, we are given the opportunity to have our lives transformed, to be witnesses to God's love at work. So this morning, you'll notice in your bulletin, there's a prayer printed before our creed. And this is a prayer that Pastor Tom and I came across, and it's very fitting for our conversation today. So we'll take a moment to kind of read it silently to ourselves so you can really see what it's saying, and then we'll read it together. There is one typo, if you caught it, towards the beginning of the section. For you've already given us the resources with which to feed the world if we would only use them wisely. Not sue them, use them wisely. Right? There is one typo. But it speaks to the heart that God has already given us what we need to serve in this world. We just have to use them rightly. So let us pray together. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end war, for we know that you have made the world in a way that man must find his own path to peace within himself and with his neighbor. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end starvation, for you have already given us the resources with which to feed the entire world if we would only use them wisely. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to root out prejudice, for you have already given us eyes with which to see the good in all men, if we would only use them rightly. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end despair, for you have already given us the power to clear away slums and to give hope, if we would only use our power justly. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end disease, for we have already been given us great minds with which to search out cures and healing, if we would only use them constructively. Therefore, we pray to you instead, O God, for strength, determination, and willpower, to do instead of just to pray, to become instead of merely to wish.